And we'll be sure to receive the offering at the end. If for whatever reason I get a little long-winded today and you got to leave, you can give in the giving stations and the box in the back. And you can always give online at rcclife.com as well. And I encourage you to do that. Amen. I want to bless you. And I want to jump into the word of the Lord this morning. You know, we're coming to the very end, incidentally, of a sermon series. I think this is the longest sermon series I've ever preached in my ministerial career. I think we're on week 8 of a message called Unstoppable Power. And we started off talking about the miracles of Jesus, and then we talked about Pentecost. And right before Pentecost, Jesus told his disciples that greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father in heaven. And then Pentecost happens. There are endued with power in the upper room with the evidence of speaking in tongues. There's preaching. There's miracles taking place in the first church. So we transition from the miracles of Jesus to being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And now we're experiencing the unstoppable power that we saw in the life of Jesus is now evident in the first church in the book of Acts, and that's where we've been the last several weeks. And I'm going to conclude it today, hopefully, with Unstoppable Power, week number 8. And I've got a subtitle for this message today, and I need you to help me tell your neighbor. The subtitle is called this: Don't Leave It at the Door. You got to tell them. You got to turn and tell them. Come on. Don't fall asleep on me. I know it was a hot, tiring week this week, but you are in the house of God. We are in church. We are in the place where God's love, God's power, God's Spirit rules and reigns. You are in the best place you can be on planet Earth right now, in the presence of God, in the company of His saints. Amen. With brothers and sisters of like faith. And so we're gonna finish this up. And my message today is simply entitled, Don't Leave It at the Door. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to the book of Acts chapter number 12. The book of Acts chapter number 12 out of the New King James Version. If you have your Bible apps, pull it up. If not, you can follow it on the screen. Chapter 12, verse number 1. Amen. Can I invite you to stand with me here in the church? I want to invite you to stand with me out of honor and reverence to the reading of the word of the Lord today, and then I'll let you be seated for the remainder of the service. If you're able to stand out of reverence and honor to the word of God today. Here it goes. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Herod must have had Facebook back in those days. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his phone and started scrolling, as it were. Let me leave a Yelp review here. And started to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered to him 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Verse 5 says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. When Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with 2 chains between 2 soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, Gird yourself and put your sandals on. And so he did. And he said to him, Put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And then they went out, went down the street, went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Look at verse 11. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It's his angel." Look at verse 16. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Him motioning to them to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Go and tell these things to James and the other brethren." And he departed and went to another place. There's a miracle knocking at your door. Whatever you do, don't leave it at the door. Come on and pray for me, and I'll pray for you, and we'll jump in and see where God takes us with this message today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege and opportunity to be able to stand upon this platform to preach and teach the oracles and mysteries of God. I pray, Lord, that you would use this vessel, Lord, to declare the word of the Lord today. Help our ears and our hearts to be open to what it is that you would have for us today. Speak to us, change our lives, challenge us, provoke us. God, us and draw us and move us into deeper dimensions, higher levels, as it were, with you, God. Call us up just a little bit higher, Lord, that we may see and know what you are doing in the hearts and the lives of Riverside Church and this people. God, speak to us today. Do not leave us the same way that we came in, but let us leave here changed and transformed under the anointing and the power of the sweet Holy Spirit that is moving in this place today. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you in this house this morning. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, we pray this prayer, and the church shouted hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated for a moment or two, and then we'll jump into this word and see where God takes us. There are moments in life when we feel locked in, boxed in by fear, circumstance, pain, or the plans of the enemies. Thank you, Angel. You can chill out there if you want to, son. I won't be long, I have a feeling. This is not a story about Peter's prison break. It's a revelation about the kind of power that God releases when his people get serious about prayer, about seeking after him. Today, we're going to close out this Unstoppable Power sermon series, but I don't want to just hurry up and rush through it. What I want to mention to you today is that through this text, and what I feel like the Lord wants you to know and wants you to hear today, is God is going to open up doors that no man can shut. Come on, I'm preaching prophetically to somebody in this room today. God's fixing to open up doors that no man can shut. God's getting ready to break some chains off of some people in this room today that you thought were permanently attached and could never be broken. Today, those chains get broken off of your life. God's getting ready to move in ways that you least expected. God's getting ready to blow into this place in ways that you didn't think were possible. The story that you thought things that you didn't think were possible, you might have heard them echoing in the histories and the annals of time as the church, as it were. But God's getting ready to do those things again today here in this church. I prophesy it in the name of Jesus. Point number one, in the text, Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says, "Now at about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." How many of you know that Herod Agrippa was bringing great persecution against this newly formed church that was birthed in Acts chapter 2? But here's what I want to tell you about persecution. If you've ever endured persecution, if you've ever endured it by yourself, or if you've ever endured it as a church. Now, I've been pastoring long enough to say I know what it feels like to be persecuted individually, but I also know what it feels like to be persecuted corporately and as a church. And if there's one thing that I can tell you about persecution, persecution never stops the church. It only awakens it. I wish I had somebody to help me preach in here. Herod Agrippa was the grandson of Herod the Great, and he ruled under the favor of the Roman Empire, but he deeply desired the approval of the Jewish leaders. And so when he saw how pleased people were when he killed James, he thought, man, that made them happy. I'll go another step forward and I'll arrest Peter and I'll put him in prison. He did it not just so he could try to stop the church. He was doing it so he can gain political popularity. He was trying to become popular with the Jewish people. And so he had James killed and he had Peter arrested. And this wasn't just random oppression. It was strategic. It was a demonic attempt to silence the apostolic voices and intimidate the church into retreat. Good God, I feel like just preaching my face off today. James was executed. Peter was in prison. Not only was he in prison, he was surrounded by 16 guards. Ooh, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. The church is grieving. The church is frightened. And the church feels targeted. But here's the miracle. The pressure that they were feeling didn't paralyze the church. The pressure provoked the church. That's a good point right there. You can write that down. Now, pressure should never paralyze you. Pressure needs to provoke you. And sometimes God will let the fire be stirred up a little bit where you think it's meant to destroy you. He's using it to motivate you, to push you, to inspire you, to awaken you. Come on, somebody. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was being offered to God for him by the church. When Pharaoh would oppress God's people, God raised up Moses. When Nebuchadnezzar would stoke up the fire, God stood with those three Hebrew boys in the furnace. When Herod persecuted, God loosed an angel and opened up prison doors. Persecution is never the end of the church. It's often the beginning of its power. You miss what I said. To everybody in here who's felt like you've been persecuted, I've come by to make an announcement. It's not meant to stop you. It's meant to provoke you. It's meant to push you. It's meant to get you awake. It's meant to stir you up. It's meant to break out of the complacency, the lethargy. It's meant to break you out of the apathy. It's meant to stir something up on the inside of you. Let them persecute. Let them come against us. But always understand, it's not meant to push us down and push us under. It's meant to push us up and push us out. That's what God, I feel it in this place today. See, here's what I recognize about the enemy. The enemy in this text overplayed his hand. Touch your neighbor and tell him he overplayed his hand. He thought killing James would silence him. He thought locking up Peter would stop the movement. But God used it to ignite a prayer meeting. You know what? God will allow things to happen in our lives to get us into a posture of prayer when we forgot what it was to pray. God will allow the enemy to come in to certain parts of our lives in order to get us back, in order to get us back on the straight and narrow and get us back into a prayer closet, get us back into worshiping and praying like we should. God will allow certain things to happen in order to get you back into the posture of prayer. And he thought that killing James would silence them, locking up Peter would stop them, but God used it to ignite a prayer meeting. We're entering a season. I've noticed it on the social medias. I'm not big into social media, but there's some that I look at. There's emails that I get. There's a circle and a group that I run with online that I watch and listen to. And here's what I've recognized. We're entering a season globally and culturally where the church is facing cultural marginalization, legal threats, and spiritual resistance. But this is not a time to shrink back, church. This is a time to lean in. God will use pressure in order to purify the church. God will use persecution in order to awaken the sleeping church. The enemy thinks the pressure will crush us, but it's only activating our power. And now let me bring this into a modern moment, because persecution always doesn't look like swords and shackles. It doesn't always look like Peter being in prison or James being killed. In today's culture, persecution looks like this, Angel. It looks like somebody grabbing their cell phone and scrolling through the cell phone and putting out their little tweets and putting out their little stories on their Facebook. Persecution looks a little bit different to us today than it did in Peter's day. Today, some will try to use social media in order to ridicule the church, mock revival, spread lies, sow doubt about what God is doing. They'll clip moments out of context. They'll post criticisms from the sidelines. They'll try to discredit a move of God with cynicism, dressed up like it's discernment. But here's what I want you to hear today. You let them post. We'll be over here praying. You let them tweet. We'll be in here travailing. Let them try to distract. And we'll be too focused and too busy on what God is doing. I don't have time to clap back at you. I'm too busy doing the work of the Lord in this place. Go ahead, let them say whatever it is they want to say. And let me tell you this, whatever you do, don't come off the wall. Come on, Nehemiah, stay on the wall. They'll keep sending Sanballat and Tobias in to try to distract you, to try to bring you down off the wall, to try to keep you doing what it is that God called you to do. I've had more than I can shake a stick at of the distractors that have come against us and have come against me to try to distract me, to pull me off the wall. But I'm here to tell you, I've got a mission on my life. I've got an assignment on my life. This church is on a mission. This church is on assignment. Come on, somebody. If you know that to be true, if you know Riverside has been appointed by God, you ought to take the next 30 seconds and give God praise in this place. Stuff doesn't fracture us. That stuff unites us. That stuff brings us together. Watch this. When the enemy raises his voice, I'm just going to raise my hands. Come on, somebody. When confusion spreads online, you know what we're going to keep doing? We're going to keep gathering in one mind, in one accord, and we're just going to let the power of God fall in this place like only God can do it. Woo. My God, I feel him in this place. I said I feel him in this place. Oh. The view looks good from the cheap seats, I guess. But I try not to pay attention. I try to stay on the wall, not pay attention to all the haters out there that just want to try to disrupt that just want to try to confuse, that just want to lie, that just want to, I try not to pay attention to that, and I'm here to tell you, you shouldn't pay attention to it either. Listen, don't get all upset and shocked when you feel like the adversary is coming against you. And sometimes we lose our minds because we're like, man, I'm under such demonic attack right now. If you are part of a church that's not under any type of demonic attack, you don't want me to preach that. No, you don't. I mean, my God, if you're part of a church and there's no opposition, nothing coming against you, look, this church right here was doing things and it said Herod stretched out his hand against them. How many of you know that when you get to moving under God, when you get to marching to the orders of God, there's an adversary out there who will do anything and everything to try to stop the progress of what God is doing? And I've been around long enough and I've pastored this church long enough that I can recognize one attack after another. You don't get nervous when you're coming, when an attack is coming against you. Get nervous when there isn't an attack coming against you. Because if you're not butting heads with the devil, you might be walking in the same direction as him. And you look at this forehead right here, it's got more bruises on it than it, you could shake a stick at. I butted my head against an adversary who's butting his head against mine because we're not walking in the same direction. Don't, whatever you do, when these things happen, don't get so caught up in them. Herod was harassing the church, and the church was praying. When the devil gets to harassing you, when he gets to harassing Riverside, the thing that we need to do is just keep on praying. Because when you pray, and when I pray, and when we come together and pray, heaven's ears are turned towards us, and he'll dispatch and release angelic reinforcements. Come on, somebody. Don't you know what the Bible says? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Come on. Every tongue which rises up against me in judgment, you, God, shall condemn. Let those tongues rise up against me in judgment. Let those tongues rise up against you in judgment. God Almighty. Let me tell you something I learned a long time ago. The Bible teaches this. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Now, if you want to take vengeance, you're just so you know, you're robbing God of his. When somebody does you wrong and you want to get back at them and you want to take vengeance because God's not doing it the way you want to do it, just so you know, you're robbing God of his vengeance. And I just want to let you know, I'm not interested in trying to outdo God at vengeance. I'll let God have all the vengeance he wants. I'm going to be over here at the altar praying. I'm going to be in the church house with my hands lifted, worshiping him. And let God say, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Touch your neighbor and say, let God have it. Let God have it. Come on, touch the people behind you. Tell them, let God have it. Let God have it. Let God have it. Let God have it. Not every voice raised up against the church needs a response because heaven will take care of it. All you and I need to do is remain in a posture of prayer. Point number two, God moves while you're sleeping. How many of you believe angels still walk among us? And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping. Bound by chains in between soldiers, there he was, sound asleep. Peter was bound by two soldiers. There were 16 guarding him. They were rotating shifts. Two were chained to him. Two stood outside the door. They would sit a shift with him, and then those four would rotate, and another four would come in, and then another four would come in, and then another four would come in. And this went on all the time. Now, I had to scratch my head, Dwayne, and I go, why in the world was there so many guards guarding Peter? I mean, after all, he's a preacher. He's an apostle. And yet here Agrippa said, you know what? I want 60. He wasn't in minimum security. He was in maximum security prison. He was a high profile inmate and he was in maximum security. Now, if you ever read that text and you didn't ask that question, you were reading it all wrong. Because when I'm reading that text this week, I'm like, why in the world would you need that many guards for a preacher? I mean, what in the world is going on? Well, you could go back and look at Acts chapter 5, and you could see that the Jewish people also incarcerated Peter and John at one time after they healed the man at the Gate of Beautiful we talked about a couple weeks ago. They were arrested and put in prison by the Jewish people. And when the Jewish people, the Sanhedrin, came to find them in the prison, they had broke out. They were gone. Another angel came in and loosed them and set them free. So I could say, well, maybe Agrippa heard that story as well and said, you know what? He disappeared once before out of prison. I'm not about to take that chance again. Put 16 guards around him and we'll make sure he doesn't get away this time. And so they did that. And so there's no doubt he was afraid, or he was overestimating Peter. And so you can overestimate Peter, but he underestimated God. He couldn't stop a man. He tried to silence him. But how many of you know that Peter was a man that couldn't be silenced? He was part of a movement that couldn't be stopped. And he was part of a church that was not about to go away. And the Bible says, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him and his chains fell off. Listen to this. The enemy will always overplay his hand. Watch this. When he's afraid of what's on your life. You missed it. If you was a shouting church, that is the place where you should have shouted. I mean, if you was a shouting church, that was the place where you should have shouted. I'll rewind it and go back and do it again. The enemy will always overplay his hand when he is afraid of what is on your life. Do you think the devil fights against things that are not a threat to him? He will only fight against the things that threaten him and threaten his kingdom. I'm saying that to every person in this room that has ever felt demonically attacked, that has ever felt spiritually attacked, that has ever felt spiritually persecuted, that has ever felt like warfare has come against you and your house or your church or your ministry. It's only coming against you because the enemy is afraid of what it is that you have on your life. That ought to make you shout. That ought to make you praise. That ought to make you jump to your feet and clap until your hands turn purple, because you have failed to recognize and realize what the devil has recognized and realized is God's got something on your life that's about to wreck the kingdom of darkness. I wish I had somebody in here that knew what I was talking about. Come on, every saint, every person in this room, if you've ever come under demonic attack, I've come by to announce it's not because he don't like you because of you. It's because of what God called you to, because of what God anointed you to do, because of what God has put on your life. Touch everybody on your row and say, if you only knew who was on your row. That's why you've been under attack. Be afraid if you're not ever under attack. I want to talk to everybody who's ever stood up on this stage, whether you preached or whether you sing, whether you play an instrument. If you're not under attack, that's when you better be nervous. But you said, I've experienced warfare. I experienced that. We appointed you as the worship leader back in January, and it feels like hell started breaking loose in your life. And the only thing I could say to you is, welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the ministry. And welcome to Riverside Church. Welcome. I've got social media. I don't know where Jamie's on a cruise or something, but she has come under attack. And the only thing I could say to her is, baby, welcome to the ministry and welcome to the kingdom of God, because that's what happens. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for the timid. Don't get it twisted. I know when it looks glamorous when people are up here on stage preaching and singing, and you go, I can do that. I wish I was up there doing that. The reason you're not is not because you're not gifted. It's not because you're not talented. I'll tell you why you're not up here. It's the mercy of God. It's only by God's mercy that you're there and not up here. Because God knows what all hell's getting ready to come against you. And if he puts you in a place up here that you thought you were qualified for and you weren't quite ready for, the devil will break you six ways to Sunday. But it's by his mercy that he's got you reserved there until you're ready to be here. Don't get it twisted. Being up here, oh God, you got to have thick skin. Come on, somebody. You better be able to take hate and be able to take criticism and be able to take the people, the devil telling lies about you and accusing you. You know, the Bible is the accuser of the brethren. That's why people accuse us of all kinds of things here at Riverside Church. The only thing I can think, well, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He's good at his job. Let him keep accusing. You keep accusing, I'm going to keep praising. You keep accusing, I'm going to keep shouting. You keep accusing, I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on preaching because there are people in here that need you on the keyboard, need Andrea on a microphone, come on, need Jeremy on the guitar, Jen need you up here singing, need Robbie Dorsey playing the horns. There are people that need it because you never know, you might hit just the right note at the right time. And it does something in the heavenlies. And something breaks loose in the heavenlies. And a window opens over your life and things start getting poured out on your life. Woo! I'm telling you, I felt it this morning when I walked into this building. When I walked into here, that most of the time I walk in here, I feel open heavens. Today I walked in, I felt distraction and hindrance. Now you can get upset about that. You can get nervous about that. And you get, oh, what did I do wrong? No, you're asking the wrong question. Ask, what am I doing right? Because evidently what we're doing in this place not only has awoken heaven over our church, but it's also not only attracted heaven over our church, but it's also woken up some demons around here. Nah, it's too heavy on a Sunday morning. We'll save that for Friday night, JoJo. We'll save it for Friday night. We won't talk about that on Sunday morning. But the enemy will always overplay his hand when he's afraid of what's on your life. Watch this. If you feel unusually targeted, it may be because you are unusually anointed. Our church is experiencing pressure, and it's because of what is about to be birthed in the midst of Riverside. The one thing that you and I need to get a hold of is let opposition remind you of your assignment. Let opposition remind you of your assignment. Let the enemy's overreaction confirm that God is your over-deliverer. Let him keep doing what he's doing. And it said, and an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and his chains fell off. Notice what Peter was doing. I'm going to preach to some leaders in here. Peter wasn't panicking. He was sleeping. What kind of peace was he walking in? What kind of peace was he living in that he could be in prison, bound by 16 guards, about to be executed? James just got executed. He's put in prison, 16 guards around him, and this brother is sound asleep. He wasn't just asleep. Man done took his clothes and his shoes off. He's like, I'm going to make myself at home up in here. What kind of peace is that man walking in? To be able to be put in prison with the threat of execution on the horizon, and my man's just chilling out in there, just taking it easy. That's the peace of God. That's the kind of peace I want. That's the kind of peace you want. That's the kind of peace we all need. The angel comes in, slaps him, and says, get up and put your shoes on and follow me. God's getting ready to break some chains in your life that you thought were impossible to be broken. Who am I preaching to in here? I'm preaching to somebody in here. I'm preaching to somebody in here. You thought that chain of addiction was going to last forever? It's not. It breaks off today. There's not a chain that the enemy can put on you. There's not a bondage the enemy can put on you. There's not a fetter that the enemy can put on you that God is incapable of breaking off of your life. Let the church shout, today it breaks. Today it breaks. Today it breaks. And when he breaks those chains, the angel said, follow me. You got to let him break those chains. But then when you got to start following and walking after God, you got to start participating in this thing. He'll break the chains, but then you got to work too. You got to be willing to get up and follow God wherever God is leading. You got to be able to get up and walk after God wherever God is leading. He'll break the chains, but then you've got to follow. And too many times people get their chains broken and then they're just standing there with a pile of chains around them, just sitting in prison still. God Almighty. See, he didn't teleport Peter out of the prison. He said, walk, follow me. Said they were past the first gate, or past the first and the second guard post. They came to an iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. In the Greek, that word is automates, where we get our word automatic. And here's what's so awesome about that. That particular gate, that iron gate, most commentaries agree, and most scholars agree, that particular gate required 25 soldiers to open that gate. And here you have Peter by himself or with an angel walking towards the gate, and the gate opens automatically. I come by to let somebody in this room know today that God's getting ready to open some doors in your life that no man can shut. You thought it was an impossibility. It's about to become a possibility. He's getting ready to open some gates and open some doors in your life that you don't have to you don't have to bench press it. You don't have to sweat over it. You don't have to use your effort. The God himself will do it automatically. I come by to preach some things are automatically getting ready to happen in your life. Things that used to stress you out, automatically not going to stress you anymore. Things that used to keep you up at night, automatically not going to keep you up at night. Things you thought were going to happen, automatically it's not going to happen anymore. Why? Because God's getting ready to open up some doors and gates.
See, but the second gate, the door to the house where the church was praying, watch this, did not open automatically. Peter had to stand out there and knock. He didn't have to knock at the first one. He just walked on through. But he got to the second gate and the second door, and he started knocking on it. Here's what I wrote down. God may open the external door sovereignly, but he often leaves the internal doors to the church. God opened the prison gate without help, but Peter had to knock and wait for the church to open that door. Touch your neighbor and say, I hope you're part of a good church. Because I have a feeling there's some people that aren't part of a good church, and they still knocking, and they still banging on it, and they still butting their head up against it, going, I can't get through this thing. There are some doors and some gates that you're waiting on that require the church to come and open. People want to criticize and mock and ridicule and say, well, there's a reason I don't go to church. And you can have those reasons. Enjoy standing outside that door. And here's what I'm saying. And church, we've got to get to the place. I can preach at the people standing outside the door knocking, but I got to preach to the church too, because that's where I'm at right now. I got to preach to us to do us too and say, we got to be prepared to open the door and let some people in. I wonder how many miracles are waiting on the church to answer the door. I wonder how many times revival has been at the gate, but we were too distracted. I wonder how often deliverance has arrived, but we were so distracted we didn't even recognize it. The church must recognize the miracle that it prays for. It said that Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate but ran in and told everybody, hey, Peter, the one that we've been praying for, he's outside the gate right now. He's outside the door knocking. And they said, girl, you crazy. Isn't that wild? They're in there praying, God set him free. Or whatever it was they were praying, God spare his life. God set him free. However it was they were praying. And then Peter shows up knocking on the door. And Rhoda's like, yo, dude's at the door now. And they're like, you know what that Rhoda was doing before she went and answered the door? She was puffing on that. No, I'm kidding. She wasn't. Chill. I just wanted to make sure y'all were still awake. I just wanted to make sure you were still with me. That'll be the part somebody will clip, and they'll take it over there to Facebook. This pastor promotes. Good grief. Said, he's at the gate. He's at the door knocking. And they said, girl, you're crazy. And she said, no. She kept insisting. And they said, nah, it's not him. It's just his angel. And Peter stood there knocking. And nobody was listening to Rhoda. And nobody was going to the door to let him in. All they kept saying was, you done lost your mind and you're crazy. And here's the thing that I had about that. The thought that I had about that is, I wonder how many miracles we prayed for showed up at the door and knocked, but we never opened up to it. How many times did deliverance come knocking and we didn't open the door up to it? How many times did revival come knocking and we never opened up the door to it? How many times did a breakthrough and a blessing come, but we never opened up the door? So here's what I've discovered. A lot of us have enough faith to pray. We just don't know how to receive what it is God. You'll pray for the thing, and when the thing shows up, you don't know how to receive it into your life. And so you'll let it stand there and keep knocking, going, nah, this is crazy. I'm here to tell you there are things knocking at your door. They're just waiting for you to open it. Come on, somebody. How many miracles are getting denied because we are not opening the door? Touch your neighbor and say, you need to open the door. Don't leave your miracle at the door. It's possible to have enough faith to pray for a thing, but not enough faith to receive a thing. Whatever you do, don't let your prayers die on the doorstep of doubt. Get to the place, you know what? Church, I want to call us into a place where we become open and accepting of what God's bringing to us. Whatever God's knocking on the door with, we've got to accept and let that thing belong. Peter was free, but the church left him outside the door knocking. God will save people, but only the church can receive them. Some people are delivered by God, but they're still rejected by the people of God. No, you don't want that. I better scroll on past that. Romans says, receive one another, just as Christ also received us. We must open the door to the hurting, the broken, the different, the unexpected. Don't pray for revival and then judge who God sends through the door. Jesus. We've got to learn to open the door to discipleship. We know where Ivy stands on that. If I said we got to open the door to deliverance, we know where JoJo stands on that. We've got to open the door to generosity and giving. JoJo, don't you do that. JoJo, like, you know, when JoJo leave out of here, she's going to tell Carmella, that was some of the best preaching he has ever preached. Carmella, you know she's going to tell you that at lunch. You'll text me. Yeah, she'll text me. She'll text me. Hey, she texts me. When she texts me, I read it in Spanish. I read it with that Spanish accent she got. I read it like that. I am the woman's for this job. I love you, JoJo. Don't get mad at me. But we need to open the door of discipleship. Watch this. God will save instantly, but growth takes time, and it must be in the church's involvement. Many people are saved, but they're stuck because no one has showed them what is next. Only the church can teach. Only the church can equip, and only the church is qualified to walk with new believers. Discipleship should never be optional. It has to be a door that we intentionally open. All right, I know you didn't shout over that one, except Ivy. Thank you, Ivy, for having a heart for discipleship. Here's one maybe you'll get excited about. The door of intercession. Peter's chains fell off because there was a church praying. Is there anybody in the room that still believes in the power of prayer? Come on, is there anybody in the room that still believes in the power of prayer? That prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. I quoted this earlier. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's what prayer does. And if we're not praying, who is? I mean, if the church isn't praying, then who is? Woo. There are miracles, I believe, that are waiting on a church that starts praying again. There are miracles that are knocking at the door, and when the church opens its door to intercession, then those miracles will come flying in. And JoJo, look what I do have here in letter D, the door of compassion and generosity. Well, there you go, baby. I'm preaching your language. I'll just get down to the verse of Scripture. Do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. And lastly, the door of the Holy Spirit. The church is to steward the Spirit-filled ministry. God pours out His Spirit, but the church must be willing to host and release the Spirit of God. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Don't just believe in the power. Watch this. Demonstrate it. Open the altar. That's why we have open altars here. We open the altars. We just don't open our mouth and preach, but we open altars and we invite people to the altars. Go ahead, Angel. We'll wrap this up. It's getting a little late and I'm getting a little hot and sweaty up here. So we'll just... You guys have been doing an amazing job listening and responding, by the way. Amen. Amen. There are souls that only the church can welcome. There are miracles that are knocking, but they're waiting for participation. God opened the city gate without a man, but He won't open the church's gate without a church. That's your job, and that's my job. And when it's all said and done, lastly is this: God gets the glory. When they finally opened up the door and let Peter in, the Bible says in Acts chapter 12, after they finally let Peter come in, it said he declared to them how the Lord brought him out of prison. Every one of us has a story to tell. Don't let anybody ever tell you that your testimony is not important. Don't let anyone ever tell you that your story is not important. When they finally let Peter in, the very first thing he did was he told them, he announced to them how the Lord delivered him. I was thinking about that earlier this week. I was watching something on YouTube, and it was a preacher that I used to watch a long time ago. I haven't seen him in a while. And they were up there preaching. The thing they were saying was, never forget where the Lord has brought you from. And I had to stop. George, I had to stop. And I really had to think, because I've been doing this a long time. And I had to remember, I had to like sit there and remember, where did the Lord bring me from? Because it's been that long ago. And then I felt a little conviction, because I was like, I never want to forget where the Lord brought me from. I never want to forget what He's done in my life. I never want to get in a hurry to try to do ministry, preach a sermon, pray or counsel, that I forget where God has brought me from. You know, when you get to that place, it will have, I believe, a negative impact on the way you worship if you forget where God brought you from. The Bible says that, how does it say it, Brother Mike? Those who exalt much are loved much. Somebody help me with that. Those who are forgiven much, love much. And that's why when I look around this altar and I see Adam over here, I don't know Adam's life. I haven't taught, had a conversation with Adam to know everything he's been through. But when I see him worshiping with tears streaming down his face, when I see him here faithfully every Sunday, opening doors and greeting people and up here worshiping, I think there's a man who remembers where God brought him from. When I see David Gill up here laying out here before the Lord, there's a man who remembers where God brought him from. Noriel, when you're up here dancing and singing your heart out unto the Lord, here's a young lady that knows where the Lord brought her from. And I had to stop, Mom, and I had to think, where did the Lord bring me from? Because sometimes we get so conditioned and used to that we forget where the Lord brought us from. Peter stopped and declared to them, "The Lord brought me out of prison." Testimonies will help breathe new life into the saints. So if you've got a testimony, if you've got a story, it will help breathe life into the saints. Those that have been in the trenches, those who have been doing it day in and day out, praying and seeking and preaching and singing. Don't be afraid to tell Angel, tell Andrea, tell Tina, tell Mama G, tell George. Here's what you did that changed my life and impacted my life. The Lord used you to do a thing. We do Pastor's Appreciation Day around here usually in the fall, and I love all the accolades, and I love the pats on the back, and I love the offering. I'll just keep it real. But above all of that, the thing that moves my heart and brings tears to my eyes is the cards, the letters, the text messages, and the emails that I get that say, "You said this," or "You preached this, and it did this to me, and it changed me." Testimonies will help breathe life back into the saints. And so just because we got leaders in here, they get tired too. They get weary too. Make sure you're telling them. Make sure you're encouraging them. Make sure you're building them up. Tell them that. Last thing I want to say is this. Your miracle is meant to multiply faith in others. When God does a miracle in your life, make sure you tell somebody. Make sure you share that with somebody, because it will build their faith. It will stir their faith, and that's what it's meant to do. Amen. Come on and stand with me all over this room. God bless you. I know it's summertime. I know it's been a hot, miserable week out there last week, and some of you had to work outside and that, and it's just draining. It's just draining. But you made it here today, friend. You got in here today. And the Lord assembled you and brought you in this place today. Because maybe He wants to do a work in your life. Maybe there's a miracle knocking at your door, and you just haven't had enough faith to open it. You had enough faith to pray for it, but you hadn't had enough faith to walk over and open that door. If you know that to be the case, if you've been waiting, if you've been patiently waiting and believing, and you know that a miracle's knocking at the door and you haven't opened the door, prayer team, won't you come? Let me invite the prayer team to come. Here's my altar call today. To any person in this room that feels imprisoned, you feel locked up. You're like Peter. You're in prison. You're locked up. You're spiritually, emotionally, or mentally, you feel imprisoned. God is sending angels and ministering spirits to come, and I want you to receive freedom today. And so if that's you, I want to invite you to come to this altar. Let our prayer partners pray with you. To those of you that have been praying, you've been praying, but maybe you haven't been expecting. You've had enough faith to pray, but not enough faith to expect Peter to show up at the door. You've had enough faith to pray, but not enough faith for that miracle to show up at the door. I want you to come and let us pray for you that your faith be awakened again. And to those that are ready to be a praying church, for those of you that are ready for miracles to be opened and doors to be opened for miracles, this is our moment to stretch out our faith and to begin to pray again. If that's any of you today, I want to invite you into the nearest aisle. Come, let us pray with you today. Whatever you feel in prison about, maybe you've been sick in body. Maybe you got a bad doctor's report. Maybe you just feel like you're barely hanging on. Won't you come right now? I open the altars for prayer right now for you to come and be prayed for. Some of you have been spiritually dealing with some things. Emotionally, you've been dealing with some things. Mentally, you feel locked up.
God wants to loose you and set you free today. God wants you free today. The only thing you have to do is just come and receive. Come and receive your miracle. Come and receive your breakthrough. Come and receive it today. Don't leave here without the opportunity of having that breakthrough, that miracle, that healing. Just stand there and knock. Today could be your day. Amen. Angel, I'm going to ask you to sing, and worship team, if you want to come back, you can. I'll leave you with one last verse of scripture. It says this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. If you need prayer today, don't leave here without being prayed for. Don't leave here without letting us have the opportunity to pray with you. And I want you to get ready for next week, because I believe there's going to be some incredible things, not just next week, but over the next several weeks and the next few months. There are going to be some incredible miracles. I'm going to just say this. If the enemy's willing to fight against all of you this hard, if he's willing to fight against us this hard, then can you imagine what the next several weeks are going to look like around here? Because he's not going to fight against us if we're walking in the same direction he is. No, God's leading us to a place. God is ushering in something. God is birthing something in to this place, and you are not going to want to miss it. You are not going to want to miss it. I'm going to step out and be bold here. Some of you better alter your vacation days to make sure you don't miss what God's fixing to do at Riverside. I'm just going to say that. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you want prayer, come for prayer. If you don't need any prayer and you want to worship, you're welcome to worship. Otherwise, I'm going to dismiss you and let you go. You are free to go. I would encourage you, though, to consider worshiping the Lord in your tithes and offerings before you leave. Usually we do it in the middle of the service, but now we're at the end. Remember to be faithful to your giving. Go online and give. Give at the giving stations. Give at the box at the back. Or you can come and lay your gift here on the altar before you leave. I bless you to leave. God bless you, Brother Wayne. Appreciate your faithfulness, my brother. God bless you. If you need to go, you're welcome to go. Dave Stewart, I watched you lay your offering here. God bless you, sir. If you got an offering you want to leave, you can leave it. If you need to go, I bless you to go. Thank you so much for being here and worshiping with us this morning. Make sure you come back here next Sunday. I can't wait to see what God's getting ready to do in this place over the next few weeks. I think it's going to be absolutely amazing. Hallelujah.